was. I noticed every street corner I was going by, I see a Baptist church. And for every one of those Baptist churches I see that came to my heart is there's hundreds of people dropping in hell with Baptist churches just about on every street corner that I come across this place. That shouldn't be. What do we have to offer here at Living Water Baptist Church? What do we have to offer them different than those who are playing that contemporary music?
Right.
Why would they fill that up? I've seen the sign out there, Jatomas is contemporary worship. What are they not seeing in you that want the desire to come here? That's something the Lord put on my heart about me last week. Hey, Dale, how are you ever going to touch those inmates in jail and prison if you're going to go in there and all they're going to see is you? You know what got me? What got me wanting to go to Black Creek Baptist Church, of course, the man of God who preached the King James Bible, no question about that. But I seen something in him that I haven't seen and that I've never seen up to that point. I seen Jesus Christ in that man. There's churches all over. Yeah, I mean, there's churches all over. But I could have went to any church. I could have went and joined the Amish church if I wanted to out there. But I seen something in that man that I've never seen before in anybody else. Maybe one other person. That'd be Lou Godano, Old Time Baptist Church. He's in heaven now. And as I come, as I was driving here on the side of the road, you see Victory Baptist Church and Baptist Church this and Baptist Church that. And I love being a Baptist. I'm not down in it, but I'm just saying this. Why are the liquor stores still open? Why are we still allowing alcohol and tobacco to be in our neighborhoods? If we have something different to offer these people,
good.
Then why aren't they here? Why aren't they filling Black Creek? Let me just say this. I don't think it's God's fault.
Right.
For sure the blame is on us.
Right.
For sure we're the ones that are failing God. God hasn't failed us. We're the ones failing God. And I'm going to go in there and I'm going to go into the jails and the prisons and I'm going to try to convince these people that what I have is better than what they have. What I have here in this King James Bible, what I have here in Jesus Christ, is better than your whole life. It's better than that needle sticking out of your arm.
Yeah.
It's better than the prescription medication that you take. It's better than the alcohol. Right. It's better than those sexual sins. I'm going around, how can that happen, Zach? The same way it happened for me. If I saw John Asquith, that's all I'd see is a good man.
Right.
That's exactly what it is. And the Lord just showed me, Dale, when you go in there, because I can go in there as an inmate. I can go in there as an inmate. I can talk with them. I can have the same lingo. I understand everything about what they're going through. I get all that. But God smote me one day. He said, I didn't call you to go in there as an inmate. I called you to go in there as a man of God. And they didn't see Jesus Christ. They don't just see you as an inmate. And I remember the Lord tearing my heart up about that. And then I remember the Lord saying, time to put the boots on and pay that price. We were just talking about that earlier. You willing to pay that price, Dale? You know what the hard part is, Zach? Is your wife and children are going to go through it with you. They're not counting out of it. What kind of man are you going to be? When you have nothing left. Nothing. I'm talking, we've been to nothing. Ask God, I'm doing everything you want me to. What's the problem here? What's going on? Well, I don't understand. What is it, Lord? How are you ever going to understand these people, Dale, if you cannot go through what they go through? How can I ever go in there and tell them? I understand what it's like for you to have to struggle to pay your bills.
Right.
I know what it's like to have nothing, that you're going to grab your family's hands and you're going to pray that Jesus Christ is going to bring some food to your house that night.
Yeah,
I can go in there and tell them that now.
Right.
Huh? That price to pay. We've been paying that price. We've been going through it. But Michael, you know what? The Lord showed me, gave me some comfort in this. He said, Dale, it's not for you and your family. It's for them. That's for those people that are sitting in jail and prison. That's who it's for. That's why we go through those things. Of course we learn lessons.
Right.
We learn how to trust the Lord. I'm not saying we didn't get some benefits from it, because we did. We've grown strong as a family because of it. My children understand now, when hard times come, we can just go ahead and pray and see what God does. And he may not do anything. My children also understand that as well. That God says this, hey, you go ahead. You think you're at the end of your rope? God lets a little more down and says, keep on going. He ain't done with you yet. How about this, Zach? This is what it's going to take for all of us. It's going to take God bringing us out of our comfort zone so far that a place that we've never been before we even get it. Before we even have an inkling of what that's going to be.
Right.
That's what it's going to take. Because you know what happens then? We have no choice but to get rid of ourselves and let Jesus Christ do what he needs to do. That's when people are going to see Jesus Christ in our life. That's when the liquor stores are going to close down.
Right.
That's when the alcohol is going to come. Hey, remember the old timers, they preached, man, they would close them down, right? Yeah. Why isn't it happening now? Did God change? Not at all. Baptist churches all over the place.
Sir.
We're the fault. We're at blame. Can't blame anybody else. And I want to preach on that a little bit tonight about our choice. About our choices. How about that? Hey, Mike, I had a lot of bad stuff happen to me as a child. I had a man take my innocency from me. Took my childhood from me. Ripped it right out of me. Had a woman do the same to me. I'm not going to go into great details. I'll say that. Had a very abusive mother. Her boyfriends were horrible. They made me kneel on raw rice in the corners for hours. We'll try doing that for a while. Put some raw rice down on the corner and kneel on it. See what your kneecaps feel like after about 20 minutes. Getting beat with inner tube tires. How about that? Many things. Fighting for my life in the boys' home. Running away just so I could defend myself. All those choices. I could have sat. You know what? Every one of those people are going to pay a price for what they've done for me.
That's right, buddy.
But you know what they can't do?
God.
They can't answer for my soul.
Right.
Right here. I know people have been through hard things. You ain't got to convince me. I've been there. But I'm going to just tell you this one thing. Those choices you make, that's on you. Your soul is your responsibility.
Right.
Your soul, then people aren't going to pay the price for your soul. You are going to pay that price. And my wife knows this. I've never blamed a single person for the things that I've done in my life. I knew what my problem was. I understood that. I just wanted to keep that hate and that bitterness inside of me. I wanted to continue to reject Jesus Christ and reject God. That was my choice. God isn't pushing anything on anybody. He's not a cosmic rapist. Everybody thinks that God's just going to come down there and he's going to force himself on everybody. And he's not going to. It's your choice. That is your choice. Thank you. Here's the problem. Here's why people can't make a choice for salvation is because they have so much bottled up about what was done to them. They want to hold on to what was done to them. And I just remember the Lord telling me, this is before I was even saved. And I remember the Lord sitting talking to me and telling me, Dale, I can't ever do anything with those things that were done to you in your past. What do you mean? I need something, Locke. I can't take it anymore. And I remember contending with him. Job 10:2. Show me therefore why thou contendest with me. Don't condemn me. What do you have against me, Lord? You know what he showed me, Zach? I can't take care of anything in that past, Dale, of what was done to you. Until you see what the problem is with me and you. God had to bring me to a point where I saw myself in his eyes. Or you'll never get saved. I'm just telling you that right now. You'll stay in that condition the rest of your life. And God's saying, listen, let me show you. 6 years ago, October, guess what? I got gloriously born again.
Amen.
And guess what happened, Zach? All that stuff that happened to me, God healed that. Hey, how powerful is your God? Mine's so powerful that he took every bit of that bitterness that I had against that man, every bit of bitterness that I had against that woman, every bit of bitterness that I had against my mother and everybody else, and I could walk up to them, Brother David, with all that I had, and I could shake their hand and preach Jesus Christ to them. That's how I live today. You know why? Because I live in forgiveness. But you know what? That's never going to come for you. That's never going to come for you when you hold on to that past. It's never going to come for you when you sit there and ask, well, this happened to me, well, that happened to me. Listen, you got to let go of that. God can heal that.
Amen.
How big of a God is he to you? He's giant to me. He's giant. And for all those years, that's what made me so bitter and so hateful and so angry, is I would hold on to that stuff over. And I would just let it bottle up, and then I would just explode. And the sad thing was I got relief from it. I got relief from hurting other people. I know you guys probably heard me say this before. If you've never been afraid of your own anger, you know, you have no clue what it's like to be angry.
Right, right.
You ask her, I would cry. I don't want to hurt anybody. I just don't. In my life, I used to look at her and say, I don't want to hurt you, Amy. I'm so afraid that I'm going to hurt you. I will cry. Please, I don't want to hurt her. Please. Give me some relief. And I'd sit on the edge of the bed. Please, I can't go on another day. I just want to die. I don't want this anymore. God, you said there's going to be relief for me. And here I am waking up again. I got to face this day. I can't face another day. How's my morning every single morning? You ask me. So I woke up every day. Then I'd take all these pills that the doctors were giving me, making me 400 pounds and suicidal.
Sure.
Violent. Did me no good. And Pastor John walked in my life. And he preached the King James Bible to me. He told me how it was. And it made me realize it's going to be my choice. Do I reject what he said? Do I believe that Bible? And I said it last night. I said at that church over there in Philadelphia. I said, the problem is you're trying to go around and force people to trust something they have no clue. They don't even believe in it.
Right.
You know, I'm an ex-gang member. Trust. Oh, here, this is what I need you to do. I have these few verses. I need you to read them over, and then we're going to pray this prayer. I want you to just trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. How about that? You know, these people are reaching for anything. They'll reach out for that. They really think they're going to get help from it. And then you make them a twofold child of hell. And then somebody comes along and wants, God says, hey, I want you to go deal with that person. You can't even touch them. Oh, I tried that already.
That's right.
I've been there and done it already. Thank God for my... Hey, you know what happened? 2 Timothy. I believe it's 2 Timothy. 1 Timothy. Talks about the being a bishop. I know everybody's good. They got one husband and one wife. Ooh, they love to use that. You're right. Hey, I'm glad you got that right. Good. Happy for you. I'm glad God can use that. Then we can start getting a little deeper about the home being in order. We're almost disqualified there, okay? But here's what disqualifies most preachers. It says to be patient. They've lost patience. They are trying to force people into salvation. That disqualifies you from being a bishop because you are not patient. Number two, let me give you another disqualification to most pastors today, or preachers or bishops or whatever you want to call them. It says, given to hospitality. Go ahead and tell them to get a bum off the street and bring them home and feed them and love them.
Right.
Yeah, you can throw all kinds of stones at me. You can throw whatever you want at me. But I can take that word and throw it right back at you if you'd like me to. Where are the qualifications? Why is that bum still the bum? Why wasn't he brought into the house of God and shown something and sitting underneath the preaching and somebody take them underneath their arm and show them and teach them and love them? That's not what it's about anymore today. I don't know. Let me move on. You know, God's given us a free will. People choose to do what they want. God didn't make me an addict. God didn't make me a drunk.
That's right.
God didn't make me into a gang member. He didn't make me into a violent person. But you know what? Over and over again, it's all I hear. It's God's fault. It's God's fault. It's not God's fault. We chose that. We chose that. As human beings, instead of going to God. I mean, Mike, with all these churches around, why did it take so many years for somebody to finally be able to get me to, and convince me to and make me believe in a King James? Why did it take so many years of all the jails and prisons and rehabs and mental hospitals I've been in? Why did it take so many years with all these King James Bible-believing churches out there for them to get me to see what it was going to take from me? Why? Why? Because nobody's out doing it anymore. If they can't get somebody to repeat a prayer, they're just going to be done with it, man. And if they do get them to do that, they just leave them out there.
Yep.
They just leave them. Thank God Pastor John didn't leave me. I'll just tell you what. He'd send me messages. Oh, it would just tear me out the frame. Why aren't you here? You know? I love you. I miss you. Why aren't you here? And why doesn't he do that to somebody else? Why is he going to bother me? I'm mad.
Good.
But you know what? He had that patience. Still got patience. He's got more patience than I ever could with people. These people are like, well, that's it. They're gone. Oh, no, don't worry. They'll be back. That's what he keeps saying. You just be patient, Dale. You go ahead and just keep praying for it. They'll be back. And they do. They show back up. And he's right there like nothing ever happened. Like, never even missed a beat. Thank God. Let's go to John. I need to go to, John. John 9. Hang on. Yeah, turn there for a second. I got to see something. I made you go to the wrong place. Sometimes my brain thinks faster than my hands. Let me go, let's see, this is what I want. Yes, John 9. Perfect. John 9. And most of you probably know the story, but I'm going to read verses 1 through 7. John 9, verses 1 through 7. And Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? I had a kid challenge me in jail 2 weeks ago. And he said, so I'm 16 years old and I'm an addict. Why is God punishing me? I said, first of all, if you think that's God punishing you, have no clue who God is. Well, I believe in him. Do you? You really believe? So you mean to tell me you believe in a God who will make you stick that needle in your arm and make you an addict? That's what you're telling me? Mm. Well, is it because of what my parents did? Jesus is about to answer that question right here in a minute. Right. No, it's not because of what your parents did. It's because of what you did. It's your choice. It's not about what anybody had done to you. We have to understand it. People can't get it in their head. It's not about what you've done to people, what people have done to you. It's about what you've done against a holy God. That's the problem. That's the issue. It's never going to be dealt with until you can see that. Until you can realize it's not against anybody on this earth. It's against a holy God. You're a sin. You've sinned against a holy God. You go, well, that sounds pretty simple. Then why aren't you saved? If it's that simple, what is it? I guys know my background. It'd be pretty easy to say, God, yeah, Dale must have known he was a rebel. Did you know I didn't know that? Do you know that's what was part of me getting saved?
Sure.
It's me seeing that I was a rebel.
Right.
Because you know what? I was living my life the way I was taught. I didn't know any different. How about that? You go, you didn't know different? Hey, I knew I was breaking the law. Okay, I knew I was going to go to jail. Yeah, I knew that. But I had no clue what I was doing against a holy God.
That's right.
God showed me tonight, I got saved, that, hey, Dale, you're just a rebel. You're a rebel. You won't listen to your pastor. You won't listen to the Bible. You won't listen to God. Hey, and I was in church 4 years at that time. How about that? And God says, you're a rebel. Hey, Mike, I had to see that, man. You think that I would see that? I didn't see that. I was blind as a bat. I did not see one bit of me being a rebel. But when I understood it that night, my whole life changed.
Sure.
It has not been the same. The two things can happen.
Number one, I could have rejected it. That's what most people that are in this room tonight are doing. You're rejecting it.
I just got a little, give you a little something here. Let go of what God has already shown you. That's not what he's trying to show you. That was just a way of him clearing the way a little bit. Okay, he's trying to get farther. What you already see, you already know. God knows that. That was just something to clear the way. It's got to go deeper. Proverbs 20:27, one of my favorite verses, says the spirit of man is the light that lighteth the inward parts of the belly. That's what God's trying to get at. That's what God, but everybody's so caught up in their outward. Well, I can't cuss, and well, I can't smoke, and well, I got to dress this way, I got to dress. God is not worried about any of that garbage. It's about the inside, it's what's in your heart. That's what he's trying to expose, that thing you won't let him get to. What do you mean you won't let him get to? Hey, man, I did not let God expose me being a rebel for all those years. God knew when it was going to be time for me to be ready. October 10th, 2011, 19 and a half East Main Street. Got saved in front of my couch in my own home in my living room floor. I'll never forget that night. Ever, ever. I don't care if it's written in my Bible 100 times. I'll just never forget that. And God is never going to move in your life for salvation if you cannot get what he's trying to show you. I was born to look. I don't know why I'm going here, but I'm going to go here. I'm going to try to show a little demonstration here real quick. This piece of paper represents me as a little curly, blonde-headed little boy when I was born. And then every time somebody or something happened to me, guess what happened to that little boy? Okay? Every time. Anytime somebody did something, I did something, anything. Guess what happened to that little boy? And now, after 40 years, that little blonde-headed boy is what you have right here. Now, God has got to sort through that. Guess how he does it, brother? One piece at a time. One piece at a time. One, and he's not going to move. Listen to me. He's not going to move a bit farther in your life until he gets that piece that he's after. I still got stuff he's unraveling in my life. I got 40 years of living for hell. But you know what? He's unraveling. I'm starting to see who he made me. He fearfully and wonderfully made me. That's what the Bible says. And guess what? I'm starting to figure out who that person is. Ain't that something? But you know what it took for me to get there? It took for him unraveling me piece by piece. It took for me being willing. Yeah, how willing are we? Oh, God, I am. I'm so willing. I remember how many times Amy could tell you, I would come up to an altar and I'm snotting all over the place. Please, Jesus, is it? And God's going, really? Get up, dry your nose, because all you're doing is lying. God knows when you're going to be ready, and you are not ready. If you're not saved, you're not ready, and you're not getting it. You're just not seeing it. That's your choice. How many times do you shake it off? I mean, let's be real. 4 years I sat underneath Pastor John's ministry and preaching the King James Bible, Spirit of God moving through the services. Hey, what did Paul do when that serpent bit him? He shook it off. That's what we're doing with the Holy Ghost. That's what we're doing. Every time we get that conviction, we're shaking it off. Shaking it off. That can't be it. It is it. Let me just say this, Mike. When God showed me things about myself, you go, you didn't know everything? No, I did not know everything. When God started showing me what my heart was, and I wouldn't even get my wife, I wouldn't even tell my wife what God showed me about myself. There's things I wouldn't even tell her that nobody in this earth will ever know. But God had to show me that. That was part of the unraveling. How about it, Amy? Do you think for those 4 years I was just having a good time, a little party? I was bawling just about every single night. I was hurting, man, because it wasn't something easy. It was hard. It was one of the hardest things I ever went through. What was it? What was going on? I was in that birthing canal. And you ladies know what it's like to have a baby in the birthing canal. That's painful. But then when it's all said and done, it's the most wonderful thing that ever happened. That's salvation. But if you're stuck, hey, listen, you got to get to the birthing canal first, guys. You have to let God get there.
That's right.
You have to let God get there. Verse 3, Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Hey, people say, oh, you know, we have such a good God, and why does he allow babies to be molested and killed? Because he's trying to show you what you are. He's trying to show how wicked mankind is. Can he stop it? Of course he's God. But then how will man ever see the wickedness of their own heart? How about this? How about this? They'll ask a question like that and still not see their own wickedness.
Yes, sir, buddy.
They're just as guilty as that one doing that to that child.
Yes, sir, buddy.
How about it? Anybody in here that's not saved, you're just as guilty as that person who molests little boys and girls. Can you see that? He's not a mean God. He's just trying to expose you to what you really are. He needs you to see that. He's a loving God, a long-suffering God. If not, he would just leave you alone and you're done with. But he's not. If you're worried about being a reprobate, don't worry, because you're not. It's when you don't worry about it anymore. It's when the things of God don't touch your heart anymore. You better start worrying. You're in a bad place. You ought to be concerned. For anybody in here who has children, let me ask you this. What wouldn't you do for your children? You'd give up your life for your children. Then what's God going to do to get your attention? What's he going to do to get your attention? What's going to happen then? Verse 4. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Verse 5. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. I don't remember who said it, but somebody said that was the holy water of Jesus Christ. He was able to take spittle and mud, dirt, the very thing he created, to heal a man's eyes. How can you know what? He wants to do the same thing. He says, you can see it in nature. Yeah, you're without excuse, but you can't see it. He's trying to talk to you on the earthly level so that you can see it and you still can't see it. What does he have to do? Come down here and teach you what's he going to do? Write on a blackboard? You know what? You still won't pay attention because you didn't even in school. You're not going to see it. God is striving with man. He wants him to have that. Listen. John 8:32 says, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. You go, oh yeah, I believe that. They'll want you free. And just so you know, the other versions, they'll change that word to set. Set free. If I set these glasses here, that means these glasses were already in existence. But if I make these glasses, that means they never existed until the day I made them. That's what Jesus Christ does to a person. He makes them free. He gives you something that you never had before. That's what it is. I got tired of being set free, Amber. Getting set free from jails, prisons, mental hospitals. I got tired of being set free. Jesus Christ stepped in and made me free. He gave me something I never had before. No, I'm not in recovery. I'm recovered. ED. Done with. It's over. Over. There is no recovery anymore. I'm not a sick man anymore.
I like it.
A-A-N-A, they want to keep you sick and all. I'm not. It's over with. He healed that thing. That's the power of Jesus Christ. Can you believe it? Hey, the wild man of Gadara, right here. I know you guys don't know me in that life. Thank God you don't know me in that life. But I was him. I was him. You couldn't keep me bound in fetters and all. Hey, guess what? Here I am. Clothed in my right mind. You know what it says right after that, Pastor David? It says people are free.
In the house
they're
of God.
They're free
of. I like it.
How about that? Woo! Well, it took some unraveling, Mike. It took me to finally make up my mind that I needed some unraveling done in my life. And it was a lot of unraveling. And even after salvation, it's still unraveling.
Sure.
You ask, she knows. My wife knows. She's with me. And she sees God do it in my life. She absolutely sees God doing that in my life. She sees it. It's not a game. I don't hold a religion. You couldn't believe me. You listen, you couldn't put a religion on me. But I have a relationship. And his name is Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I have a relationship. And that's what I go in there preaching to these men and women that, listen, I'm not here to give you a religion. Matter of fact, none of them even know, they don't even know I'm a Baptist. Why? Because I'm ashamed of the Baptist? No, because it makes them put a wall up.
That's right.
Baptists aren't perfect. We make our mistakes. And if I go in there and say, well, I'm just here, but you know, I'm a Baptist, and you know, they have all these predetermined thoughts of what Baptists are, what Pentecostals are. They have all these preloaded things. So I'm just going to go in there as the man of God. I'm going to go in there preaching a King James Bible.
Good.
That's what I'm going to go in there as. And you know what? Maybe a couple months down the road, somebody might say, well, what denomination are you? Baptist. And I say that. I love it.
Right.
Do I let them come in there with other versions of the Bible? Yes, I do. I absolutely 100% do. I'd rather have them sitting in my service here and be preaching King James Bible so the Spirit of God can teach them. They have their own Bible. And you know what, Mike? I almost went through 2 cases of King James Bibles. That's how many I've sent in.
Letting these people come in with them other perverted versions. Because if the Spirit of God can't do it, I can't. So I just sit there and preach a King James Bible, and every time I turn somewhere, they'll look and go, oh, I don't have the right one. You're right. Oh, you need a Bible? Yeah, I'll send you one right in. There's a time I'll sit in 10, 15 in a week.
30, I think, was the biggest I sent in 1 week. Why? Because I went in there pounding them out. No, I just went in there preaching what God had me preach. How about that?
Now they all told around a King James Bible. Do they believe it all? No. They don't. But that's why there's a man of God to go in there and teach you. That's what they need. They don't need another church just to come in there and give them a religion. They need somebody to come in that's going to give them something for when they're in there now and when they come home. Many, many churches go in there with all the good intentions of these people doing the right thing while they're in there, and they forget all about them when they get out. These people need something, Zach, that's going to help them when they're out. Not just in jail. Most of them are grabbing on to something. You know why? They want to get out early, or they want a better sentence and all that. And then when that doesn't happen, they get mad at God. It's not God's choice. That's your fault. Brother David, God never made me go out there and do the things I did. He allowed those things to happen so that I could see me. And you know what? I never did. It took all these years, 40 years.
I should have been dead. I had bikers beat me up. They broke my eyesight. I had 15 bikers tear me out the frame. I mean, they broke my eyesight. I had bruises underneath my fingernails. I mean, I had all this was all bruised up behind my ear. I mean, I was tore up from the floor up. I mean, I was in the hospital.
I couldn't even get a hoodie over my head, man. They beat me so bad. Do you think I learned my lesson, Brother Dave? Not one bit. Do you think I seen anything out of that? No. All I think now is I see a black thing floating in my eye. That's the only thing I see. I seen, man, I was almost dead.
Oh, here's my stupidity. I go get a .22 pistol, and I go to their clubhouse a few days later.
Thank God nobody was there. Because if somebody was in there, I would have shot him. Just kicked the door and started firing. That's what I did.
I would have been in life in prison.
Sure.
Dead and going to hell. You know, God just, he had mercy.
I really believe he had mercy on my life.
Amen.
I do believe that. You go, boy, you went through an awful lot. It's my fault. It's my fault. It doesn't make my choices.
That's right.
God didn't make me do those things. I set myself up for that. Me.
And then everybody wants to get mad at God. Because you don't know God. If they knew God, they wouldn't get mad at him like that. You know what they got to see? My whole point with this message here with verses in John 9, 1 through 7, it's going to take more than a man to make these people see. We can only get up here and do so much. It's going to take the Spirit of God. He plants, I water, he plants, but God gives the increase. God gives the increase.
Right.
God gives the increase.
Right.
God has to open their eyes. God has to open their eyes.
Sure,
who's opening the eyes of this man here? Jesus Christ is.
I'm gonna 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 4.
That's good, Brother Dale.
God have mercy. Please have mercy. You know, God have mercy on those people who've done things that
they done to me, or things that were done to you. I get it. I do. I understand that. But let me just say this. They're not going to stand there before the judgment throne and have to account for your soul. You are. You are. You're the guilty one. You are. For what you've done. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 and 4. Here we go. But if the gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Okay, verse 4. For the God in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which trust not, believe not.
Why?
Believe not. Hey man, most of the problem is you just don't believe it. I'm just going to go through a story real quick. I don't want to read it. I want to get through some other stuff. Mark 9. Maybe you heard me preach it one time. Mark 9. There's a man coming with this little boy. Little boy's demon possessed. They bring the little boy to the disciples. And they can't cast out the devil. Well, they went there in their pride. Jesus rebukes them later. He says, some of these don't come out by prayer and fasting. You know, because all those other times they were doing it all on their own. Then they're like, we don't need Jesus. Let's go do it ourselves. Mm-hmm. And guess what? That devil didn't leave. Well, Jesus steps in. Mm-hmm. What's going on here? He rebukes the disciples later when they're alone. He doesn't do it in front of people. Which is not like Jesus, because he would do it. He doesn't have a problem with that. But I think he had a lesson for him. It's not your pride that's going to do anything. When you think you can do something without Jesus Christ, you can go ahead and just give it up. Just hang it up right now. Okay? That includes salvation. So the little boy standing there, foaming and everything else, Jesus Christ says, what can I do? Here's the dad's answer. If thou canst make him whole. If?
Right.
Me, if. Here's Jesus' response. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to them that believe. Do you believe that? He comes to Jesus with doubt.
Sir.
And then Jesus exposes his doubt. Well, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to them that believe. If thou canst believe. That was his response. You know what the very next verse says? I can picture the guy standing there. Your Bible doesn't say it. But I can picture the man standing there. He goes, Lord, I believe. Excuse me. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Hey, Mike, you've heard the stories of Jesus Christ. You even witnessed what he's done to my life. Have you? How many in this room have not witnessed the power of Jesus Christ? See, that's a knowledge that you have. It's called knowledge. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. It's right here. This is what's missing. This is what's missing. That's what was missing in that man. Hey, why didn't he deal with that little child? You notice he dealt with the father on belief? Now it has nothing to do with demon possession. Mike, Jesus Christ is going to deal with you. Not going to deal with your family until he's done dealing with you. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. The very next thing that happens, the little boy gets healed. You know what I think happened? It doesn't say it in the Bible. It's not my own version that I'm creating. I'm just using it. I like to think about this, brother. I think that that man said he understood what it was to believe in Jesus Christ. Right at that moment, his son got healed. His son believed. And I think he went home and told his other wife and children. Maybe they got saved. You see, Mike, it took Jesus Christ exposing me before I could help them.
That's right.
I would never be able to help them, Zach. Never in a million years would I be able to help my family until God exposed me for who I am. And that was even as a saved person. Even as a saved person, Jesus, telling you, man. I go to my wife at times and I'm just in tears and she's like, what's up? I said, God just showed me something. And I'm so sorry for doing it to you guys. I am so sorry. You know, Brother Dave, nobody takes it serious anymore on how we treat our wives. You know, God said he won't hear our prayers, Zach, if we're treating our wives not the right way. They're our weaker vessel, Mike. They are our weaker vessel. I don't care what they say or what they do. You are to treat them like, listen, Jesus Christ said he died for them. And that's how you're supposed to treat your wife. And then we want to run our mouths off on them and, you know, oh, you didn't do this right. Or look at this wrinkle was left here. And and God's supposed to hear our prayer, almighty man. Woo! Lord, have mercy.
God help us.
Yes, God help us. You know,
The thing is the devil
he's attacking the mind. You know why? Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is desperately wicked. He doesn't even have to mess with your heart.
That's right.
So what's the very next thing? Our thoughts.
Right.
He gets into our thoughts. He gets into our thoughts, and guess what? The devil and our heart agree. Ooh. He doesn't even have to mess with the heart. And you know, we'll take it in our minds, and we'll go, oh, that's right, yes, and we'll hatch those little eggs in our heart, and next thing you know, you're out there, and you're sinning. The Bible talks about the partridge that sits on the egg. It's got a choice. It can either sit on those eggs and hatch them, or walk away. That's the choice you have for the sin in your life. That's the choice that you have, either you're going to accept Jesus Christ for who he is or reject him. What is it? If thou canst believe all things. Do you believe that King James Bible, when it says all things, it means all things?
Man.
How about this? If there's a camel standing in that corner right now, big old camel, smelly, nasty camel, and I say, Matthew, I want you to take this. I got a needle here for you, buddy. I want you to take that sewing needle. And I want you to walk up there. And God's going to make that camel, without changing it, he's going to make that camel walk right through the eye of that needle. Do you believe it?
Believe that.
How about it? How about it? He doesn't have to change that camel. That camel will walk directly through the eye of the needle, just like he says.
Hallelujah.
If thou canst believe. You know the story of Jonah? I mean, you got to read the story of Jonah. You got to open your Bible once in a while and read some stuff. It says, it goes on, before Jonah was even in the fish, it said that God had prepared, E.D., a fish for Jonah. Before Jonah even left, he had already prepared a fish. Do you believe it? Do you believe that Jonah could be swallowed by a fish? I know people want to change that to whale, but let's keep it real. It says fish. Can God make a fish big enough? Yes or no? How big is your God?
That's good.
Here's where most people keep their God. I don't know. They keep him in a little case. And when they want something, they want to rob me. Oh, will you help? And when he doesn't do anything,
sorry,
you want to get mad at God for it.
That's right.
Because you just don't believe, plain and simple. That's the truth, okay? That's your choice. Belief, you know what? Belief, it demands an action. Let's say, Amy, you believe that Brother David has secured these seats, and you believe that that's, when you sit down, that seat is going to hold you up. Therefore, you trusted it and you sat down in it. Did you have to think about it? That's belief in Jesus Christ. Hey, Mike, you know what that is? That's a supernatural thing that God gives us. That's a supernatural thing that God gave to somebody like me to believe in him. Sure. It was a miracle that he's teaching me how to trust him. How about that? Amber, just like you sit in that chair, you didn't have to think about it. You just sat down. You believed totally that chair was going to hold you up. Then why can't you believe that Jesus Christ wants to save you? Why? Why do you have to think about it? The simplicity that's in Christ. Hey, salvation was the easiest thing that happened to me. It was the hardest thing for me to get. Just like that little baby you have, all that pain and suffering going through, have that baby, and then when it's born, guess what? Joy, peace. I mean, it's happiness. But getting there. Afterwards, you think, man, that wasn't so bad. That's what, you know, and that's what salvation, man, that wasn't so bad. It was getting there that was bad. It was getting there. Let me just say this. Man. Your own wickedness of your heart's got you tied up. It's got you caught. You're in prison. Okay? You're in prison with your own heart. You're in prison. You know why? Because the devil's attacking your thoughts, and he's got you thinking something. He's got you thinking things, I mean, unbelievable about things.
Yes, sir.
Israel. When God was angry and upset with Israel, there was times that he took them captive with their own heart, and he left them there for 20 years.
You know what it says? That he oppressed them with chariots and iron. You know what happened? It brought them to a place where they realized, oh man, oh man. And they believed God again. It says, and they believed. And they got set free. Excuse me, let me change that. It got made free. Okay? Got made free. That oppression was lifted. Proverbs 29:1 says that he that being often reproved hardened his neck shall suddenly be destroyed and without remedy. You know the problem with today is that because God has such great mercy and he's long suffering, it's not always instant judgment on your life.
Right.
Thank God that's not always instant judgment. But you know what? You keep hardening your neck against the things of God. And that judgment's coming. And you know what it says, Brother David? There's no remedy. There's no cure for it. It's done. It's over with. There's no more remedy. Then what?
Oh boy.
What are you going to do? Don't shake it. Don't shake it off. Romans 1. Romans 1. I want to just hit on a few things here and I'll be done. Romans 1. This is your choice. Belief demands an action. What action? What action is it? What are you going to do? What's your choice going to be? What is it? You just go and sit on that chair. You have, and that's it. It's a choice. You made it. It's done. It's over. It's an action. Can you believe God for your salvation? That's what it's going to do. You're going to, you know what? You're going to believe. You're going to understand that he can save you. Romans 1, let's go to 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Anything that is not of faith is sin. If you don't believe that God can save you, you are holding that in unrighteousness. You are a wicked person for doing that. Anything that is not of faith is sin.
Right.
Anything that is not of faith is sin. Then what's holding back your salvation? What is it? Have you confessed that sin? Have you said, God, you know what? Maybe I just don't believe. Maybe I just don't have that faith. How about anything that is not a faith is sin? Let's go on to get some verses. Verse 19, it says, because they that which may be known of God is manifest in who? In them. It's made manifest in you. Listen, I didn't understand that it was God's laws that I was breaking, but inside of me, I knew there was something not right about what I was doing. And it wasn't always just about what I felt about human beings. It wasn't always about this earth, but I didn't understand it, Brother David.
Sure.
I knew there was something wrong because it was in me. Sure. God had put that in me.
Sure.
But I didn't understand it until God showed me. The Spirit of God had to show me what it was. And then I understood, oh man, I'm sinning against a holy God. Man, that's the only one. That's where it matters. That's where it matters. Man. For the invisible things of him for creation, the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Oh, I'm just telling you, if Jesus Christ was to come back right now and you are not saved, you are without excuse. You have no excuse to stand there before a holy God. What are you going to say to him? Only thing you're going to say is he's the Lord. You're going to bow your knee and be cast in the lake of fire. You're going to go to hell for eternity. That's what it says. You're not going to jump in. It's going to be a party. No, it says that, you know what it says? It says the angels are going to bind them. Hand and foot. You know where the first place they're bound is? Go read Daniel 3. Excuse me. Yeah, Daniel 3. When they went and bowed down to the music. They got bound and cast where? In the fire.
Yeah.
It's a picture of hell. Daniel 3, what do they do? Nebuchadnezzar says, I'm going to build this, what? I'm going to build an idol. What's he get to make people bow down to it? Music. Who's the first ones to do it? Those in authority. All the princes and governors and the kings and all that. They're the first ones to bow down to it. They're the first ones to get away from God. They're the first ones to turn on the music. And guess what? Everybody else follows them.
It's good.
I'm going to close with this. This is, go ahead and finish reading Romans 1, 18 through 32. And, it, you know, God has turned America over to itself. for the things that are in its heart. And I'm just going to say this, if you're here tonight and you're sitting here lost, it's because God has turned you over to the things in your heart. But yet you're so blind you can't see them. You're so blind you don't understand it. You can't get it. It doesn't make sense to you. You can't pinpoint it. And God wants nothing more than to show you one time and just let it be done. He wants it settled. He wants it settled worse than you do. You know how I know He wants it settled worse than you? Because He went to the cross for it. Okay? He went to the cross for it. He died for it. And He's the one who's striving. He's the one who's trying to. He's the one who's trying to show you. Because in ourselves, we're not going to do it. In ourselves, we're not going to do it. In ourselves, we just keep shaking it off like Paul did the serpent. Psalm 14, 1 and 2 says, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt and have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They're all gone aside. They're all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. And here's why God says this, because you know what? Not a person in this world, until they're brought to that place, can see their own heart the way God sees it.
That's right, buddy.
And He needs that to happen. And here's one person who's stopping it, is you. You can't blame your past. You can't blame the devil. You can't blame the drugs, alcohol, this and that. It is you. You are the one solely responsible. Let me say this. Jesus Christ was to come back right now, and we're going to go stand in front of the judgment. Is God going to take everything from your past and make them answer for you, or are you going to answer for you?
Right.
What is it? You are going to answer for that. So what's that tell you? That tells you that you have to let go of what was done to your past, because God can heal that. He's worried about what you and Him have. He's worried about what's going on between you and Him. He's not worried about what was done to you. He can take care of that. He's a mighty God. He's a wonderful God. There's nothing He can't do. The only one, we're the ones who limit Him. We're confined to space and time. God is not. He's infinite. Our minds are not. We don't understand it all. But God understands it all. He understands what it's going to take for you. For you to finally see. But here's my last question, and I'm going to close. Here's the last question I have to say. How important is your soul? You're playing Russian roulette. How important is it to you? He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Are you being diligent in seeking Him? Are you really? How about it? How about it? It's your soul. Hey, Amber, I mean, you would do anything to stop her from getting hit from a train, wouldn't you? You'd run 1,000 miles an hour if you could to get her out of that train track so she wouldn't get killed, right? What about your soul? What when you do the same thing for your soul? There's no way I would be able to ever help my children the way they should be until I got saved. Just wasn't going to happen. Yeah, I could have been a good dad. But what about their soul? What about their soul? Isn't that more important than just somebody say, oh, you got such good kids? Faith of our fathers, the faith of our mothers. If they can't see Jesus Christ in us, they'll never see it in anybody. Mike, you got a big responsibility on your hands, man. These kids need to understand and see Jesus Christ. Yeah, Mike, you're a good man. I get it. I applaud you for what you do, man. But they need to see Jesus in you. Okay? I know people right now. I'm going to close with this. I promise. I'm done. I know people right now whose kids are a mess. Jails, prisons, I mean, drug addicts and everything else. And I'm going to tell you this one thing. These kids grew up in decent homes. But these kids are never going to get saved until they can see Jesus Christ and their parents. Ever. Guarantee it. How important are those little souls all around you, Mike? How important are those souls, Zach? How about it? Can they see Jesus Christ in your life? Is that what you're going to show them? It's your choice. I'm done, Pastor.